thought to myself, no chains on me. Are you loosed from those chains?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, how good you are. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to praise the Lord this morning. Our God is a great God. Oh, God, we can give him praise every day that we woke up this morning and we're on our way throughout the day. Hallelujah. Our God is great, and God is to be exalted by each and every one of us here. It says in the Word, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. Hallelujah. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and we will praise your power. Hallelujah. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. He is holy. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He's filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. For thus says the high and the lofty, one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place with him. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God who is holy shall be hallowed in righteousness. Now I want to tell you about this verse here. It said this took the place when Israel was exiled to Assyria and Judah was exiled to Babylon, where once they were had parties with food and with music, there would be hunger, thirst, and death. These people brought judgment on themselves. Turning away from God exposes us to destruction.
Yes.
Has that ever went through your mind? Turning away from God brings us, and it exposes us to destruction. And there's one other verse I want to read here. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Hallelujah. For all the earth is mine. Hallelujah. God promised to bless and care for these people. The people promised that they would obey him. The covenant was thus sealed, but the good intentions of people quickly wore off. Isn't that the United States today?
Yes.
People that used to be in church no longer in church. People in church no longer have the desire to give God praise and to worship his name and to know that he's the Almighty God. They'd rather do what they want to do. Have you made up? No, let me go back to this one. But the good intentions of the people quickly wore off. Have you made a commitment to God? How are you holding up your end of the bargain with him? Hallelujah. In Psalms 107, 31, 32, it says, oh, that men give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the congregation of the people. And that's what we're going to do this morning.
Amen.
The Lord lives. Blessed be the rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted this morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let the God of your salvation be exalted this morning in the house. We're going to bring him praise. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your word. Because we know your word is true. We know, God, that you speak to us, God. We know, Lord, that you hear us, Lord, when we speak. I pray this morning, God, you touch your people, Lord. Open up their hearts and their ears, that God, that they would receive from you this morning. And God, that they would be obedient to you this morning. Lord, we lift up your name, the name of Jesus. No other name but your name. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. Lord, don't let people walk out of these doors without feeling and sensing and knowing your presence. Hallelujah. God will forever give you all the glory and all the praise. I thank you, Jesus. You are so good.
Yes.
God, you are a good God.
The Believer's Authority. 2 weeks ago, we had a move of the Spirit, and I was able to just exhort just a little bit, so I'm going to finish out. Well, I'm going to start and finish it, I guess. But I want you, while you're standing, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. In the book of Revelation, you can see that the authority of the believer is unveiled more fully in this particular book than any other epistle that was written to the churches of that day. This text shares that we need to realize that although we wrestle against Satan and demons, we have authority over him through Christ who is in us. Through the Spirit of Christ at salvation, we have the ability to fulfill chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We can see today in the news and in our viewpoint of the world today some of the things that have gone on in our own particular country. The murder and slaughtering of millions of babies, all in the name of woman's rights. We see also the rapists, the murderers, have no values or whatever moral standards anymore. How can that be? Because of the control that demons and evil spirits. But you have the authority and the power over each and every one of them. It might be an evil spirit, but you can understand through Christ, through the Holy Ghost, through the anointing and through the unction, we have the authority to take back what the enemy has stolen from the church. The thing that we need to believe is we have, I have, you have, we all have. I was talking to Sister Shag before service started. And she said, you know, it's hard sometimes when we know God heals, and then when he does it, it surprises us. Only believe. Through the last couple songs, I remembered a series of messages that I preached, and some of you that have been here and we've done this before, is point your finger towards heaven, take and draw a big circle over your head. Now ask the Holy Ghost to fill that circle. It's living under the influence. Living under the influence. We have DUIs, so on and so forth. But we need to learn that the Holy Ghost is with us. The Spirit of Christ is always with us. Amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can be seated. Too many Christians today think that only ministers or those, quote, godly saints of God can have this power, can have this authority, but you're mistaken. You can have it, each and every one of us. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You might only be been saved for about a month now. We had a few that dedicated their lives on Easter morning, resurrection morning. But understand, the point that you got saved is the exact point where you got the power and you had the authority. Amen. Authority belongs to us whether we realize it or not. But we can't take advantage of something we don't know about. On the other hand, we can know about the authority but not act upon the knowledge. Knowledge isn't enough. It's knowledge acted upon that brings results. The devil doesn't want Christians to find out what belongs to them. So he outsources the knowledge of truth. He knows that the child of God who knows their authority in Christ will enjoy victory over him. And no longer he will be dominated by him. One of the things that I want you to glean from this message, from this time that we have together in his word, is it doesn't matter how bad, how evil the spirit is, all you got to do is speak the name of Christ. Speak the name of Christ. Understand, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Many a times, our problems, our trials, our tribulations, our storms, I'll say it again, 97 to 98% of our problems have faces. Oh, just the sight of someone can get you riled. Don't look at me like that. But it's not the person that we need to be praying for. Well, we do need to pray for them. But we need to pray for us as individuals, as the children of God, with the authority that Christ has given us. My first point that I want to discuss with you today, and it's an important part of learning, the knowledge that the truth will set us free. You get this down pat and understand it without questioning it. Believe it. The believer's authority is the title of the message. What do you believe in? Is it power versus authority? The word power is used in this verse twice, but there are two different Greek words in the verse that are translated for power. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." We forget about this latter part of it. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." It doesn't matter what we're facing. Over the power of the enemy, you have the power. We have the authority. "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." The word means authority. How ironic. Power and authority. Can they be against each other? It's kind of like the chicken and the egg, which came first. It doesn't matter when or how you got saved. What matters is your name's written in the Lamb Book of Life, which means you have the power. You've got the power. You've got the authority. Power and authority. It shouldn't read power versus authority, because when we exercise, when we believe and expect it to take place, the word authority here in this verse is kind of like a police officer out directing traffic. Physically, he cannot stop the vehicles, but the authority gives him, or the being a police officer gives him the authority to say stop and that they should stop. What are you fighting against? Even if they're faces or people who have the things on us, we need to understand that by Jesus' name, through Christ's blood applied to my life, we have to say stop, and the devil stops. When we say go, get out of here, he has to go and get out of here. Amen. When Christians use this authority in Christ, the devil has no choice. Let me say that again. When you, as a born-again child of God, speak to what the enemy is trying to do, the devil has no choice. He must obey your authority. The value of authority depends on the force behind it. God Himself is a force behind your authority, my authority. Understand, believers who are fully conscious of the divine power behind them can face the enemy without fear or hesitancy. When was the last time you took authority? Binding the enemy. Scripture is very real when it comes to binding and loosening. Scripture says that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And that's all done with the authority of your tongue, your language. That's why it's a good thing to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because when you don't know what to pray for, God will give you what to pray for. Amen. And many a times it's power and authority together. Overcoming through Christ. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Overcoming through Christ. That's the only way that we can do it. By the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of your testimony. 1 John 4, 1 through 4. Beloved, that's me. That's you. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Leave that up for a minute, brother. Come on, give him praise. Because you're a child of God, little children have overcome them. overcome them. What is them? Them refers to the evil spirits, the demons that we face. In this verse, that's what it refers to and says that we have overcome them, and not maybe in the future, but right now, you overcome them by the word of your testimony. Because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. God has given you the power and authority, even over the demon spirits, the evil spirits. Understand, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, dwells in us through the personhood, and the power of the Holy Ghost also dwells in us. Amen. Jesus overcame them, but we overcame him, meaning them, through Jesus' authority of the finished work of the cross. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Greater. You don't have to have a biblical education. You don't have to have a degree behind your name. You just have to have your name written in Lamb's Book of Life. That's it. End of story. Excuse me, I'm sorry. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one. Capitalized, one. There's only one, Jesus Christ. He was the only perfect one. For if by one man's, Adam and Eve, brought sin, brought the offense of death that reigns in our lives until the point of receiving what? The abundance. You need to highlight that, underline that. The abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Your righteousness is filthy rags. But when we get saved, we receive Christ into our hearts and into our lives, into our spirits. And that brings His righteousness, because He was the only perfect Lord and Savior, which gives us the opportunity to what? Reign. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Great things are in store for the children of God. You must exercise that authority, however, to benefit from it. When we exercise that authority, we put him to flight, our enemy to flight, but will reign in this life, not by your own goodness, but by him who gave his life for us, who shed his blood as a sacrificial lamb. But the great thing that we need to understand in the last point of this message is we will be seated with Christ. If our Heavenly Father sits, and Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, that means he's pleading our case. That means we can take the authority simply because we are his. He is ours. One and one. doesn't make two. One and one makes one with Christ. Jesus is the head of the body, and don't ever forget that you are the body. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that means we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We've got an inside track. That's why when you speak the name of Jesus, angels are dispatched. Can I get a witness of that? It's about time. That is the picture of us today. He has already given us that promise. And God does not. We were singing about a covenant. Sister Tracy talked about it. A covenant with God. God doesn't break His covenant. A covenant, we don't usually talk that kind of language, but it's a contract, a promise between two people. Jesus Christ is our mediator. He's the one that goes between. And it's all on us to take the authority. In the church today, if the church today would only get the revelation that we are the body of Christ, He will rise up and do the works of Jesus Christ. In the book of John, it says, greater works than these shall you do in my name. Greater works than these. In closing, 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because he's always the same today, yesterday, and forever. We are one with Jesus Christ. When we get saved, he becomes my big brother. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. There's only one question for you to answer today. What is it that you need to overcome or receive for your victory? Some of us might have multiple answers. Some of us have a lot that's going on in our lives. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's all you need. Would you bow your heads with me? I've had a couple weeks to pray over this message. And in those couple of weeks, I've had different viewpoints that I thought how the altar service could go. The first and foremost point of any altar service is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Maybe you're watching over the live stream and over Facebook Live and have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're in this sanctuary. Maybe you've tried to fool the other people. But God knows the heart. God knows your motives. But the most important thing is your salvation. We have a picture of the rapture out there above the information desk. And it simply says, are you ready? Because at any moment, at any time, the trump of God could sound. I'm not here to try to scare you. But many of us in this room today got saved because we didn't want to go to hell. That's a good motive, not wanting to go to hell. The picture of hell is not very happy and joyful, but it's gruesome. A couple portions of the New Testament says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's when an angry dog is coming, trying to bite you. Torment. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and a quarter days a year. Turmoil. So if you're not saved, I make a plea to you. If you're watching and can send something to us, we'll better off being able to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, authority. Authority comes through the relationship being made right when Jesus Christ places his righteousness in us. Because we're not good enough. Father, we just ask that you help us in that role of salvation. Yes, Jesus, you are my Lord now. You're my Savior. You will always be there for me because I know you never leave those who accept you. But Father, we also believe in our hearts that you're Lord and Savior. We confess with our mouths, Jesus as Lord. Rule and reign in me and those that accept you today. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. Sister Shag has a testimony. We're going to pray for a couple, three, I guess.
I have a couple things I want to say because we can just see God working in our lives a lot. And first it starts with that song we sang this morning about the children and the generations to come. Terry and I have prayed over our seed and the generations to come and ask blessings and salvation for those we don't even know yet. And I one day came to the realization that there's been generations behind me or before me, however you say that, but that have prayed for us. And that's why we're where we're at today, I believe. And yesterday we went to our one granddaughter's graduation and they sang that song. Of course, there wasn't a dry eye in the place because there was lots of children there. And our 18-year-old granddaughter that graduated yesterday, I'm proud to say she loves Jesus Christ with all her heart.
Amen. Hallelujah. So let's give him praise.
Definitely.
Come on, let's give him praise. Yeah.
She's not afraid to talk to anybody about Jesus, and we're just so proud of her. You know, I've been a Christian basically all my life, but I didn't have the outgoing, that bravery like she has. And I don't know if you call it bravery, but she just loves the Lord, so it's just wonderful. And we're seeing the Lord starting to work because we've been praying for lots of family members. We've got a lot, as most of you know, And we're seeing some changes.
Amen.
We're seeing them. They're thinking and they're starting.
Hallelujah.
A couple of them have gone back to church. And I thought, whoa, okay. So we're just so thrilled. And anyway, I want to thank all of you because I'm in this church because I know you people love God. And I know you stand on the word of God. And you've been praying for me. I have some health issues. And try to make this story short. But I have two surgeons because I got two issues going. And the one surgeon wasn't real clear about an issue that I have. And he sent me for another test. And he called Friday and he says, "Well, Miss Barb, I got good news for you. I don't have to do my surgery." And yes. And that was the surgery that I had the most concern about because I knew how serious it was going to be. So he says, "I am going to call the other surgeon and tell them they can go ahead and book your surgery," which is a cakewalk compared to what he was going to do. But maybe I'll get the call from her, and maybe she'll change her mind too. Yeah, why not? God is good, and I know. And it's like I shared with Pastor that, you know, we pray and we're believing that we're going to be healed. But when it happens, it's kind of whoa, really? You know, you did do it, Jesus. So, I just thank all of you for praying for me too. So thank you.
Amen.